Homeland Security Department Secretary Jay Johnson says he has less than 100 days now before he plans to leave office. That has him looking back on what DHS has accomplished during his tenure and what items he still has left on his to-do list. We get more now from Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco.
There's a few familiar items on DHS Secretary Jay Johnson's to-do list for his last few months in office, and he made it clear he will head out the door in less than 100 days.
My goal in office for my 37 months, and it will be 37 months, 94 days from now, is to build a better department and leave this place better than I found it, in addition to protecting the homeland.
No surprise, cybersecurity is a top priority for Johnson, since DHS plays a big role in helping state and local partners prepare their systems for the upcoming election. It also has a few congressional deadlines to meet before the year ends. Johnson says about 75% of civilian agencies have Einstein 3A cyber tools so far, and the department will meet its December 18th congressional deadline to install Einstein at all agencies.
My goal, as I said earlier, is to have it deployed across the entire federalcivilian.gov before the end of the year. We've got a lot of departments and agencies signed up now, a few more that were not signed up, just agreed to get signed up in the last couple of weeks. So I believe that we will get there.
Johnson says Einstein has blocked over 1 million efforts to exfiltrate information so far. The department is also working on a new cyber risk scoring system that it will eventually add to Einstein. And as anxiety grows over the possibility of cyber attacks on state and local election systems, DHS hasn't officially declared the nation's election system as critical infrastructure. But the department has met with 36 states so far to help them with their election system cybersecurity. Here's Johnson.
They've come to us for assistance or seeking information, and a number now are getting vulnerability assessments, scanning from the Department of Homeland Security for their cybersecurity. And I'm very pleased with the level of partnership and cooperation with state and local election officials in the run-up to November 8th.
The department's also improved its ability to share information with other federal, state, and local agencies, plus some private sector companies, too. Johnson says information sharing is now one of his most important Homeland Security missions. Caitlin Durkovich is the Assistant Secretary for Infrastructure Protection at DHS.
We have moved from government just sharing direction or sharing information with you to a very robust bi-directional information sharing, where increasingly we are looking to you to understand what you are doing in response to incidents as they evolve and how we can enhance and fill the gaps.
For example, DHS cleared about 2,000 private sector partners and is working to give them access to the department's fusion centers. It's another way DHS can share information, sometimes classified, with other organizations. Durkovich says it's also part of the DHS Enhanced Regionalization Initiative.
Our customers, owners and operators of critical infrastructure, are not largely here in the Beltway, but they are around this country. And this need for us to continue to make sure that we have the right balance of resources. And so we have undertaken an initiative called Enhanced Regionalization, where we are looking at where the center of gravity is and trying to push those resources out into the states so we can continue to meet your needs and help you manage this dynamic risk environment.
To make this program work, the department is moving about 150 employees from its headquarters to the field. DHS started the program over the summer, and it hired 10 regional directors to head up these field offices. DHS credits the partnerships it's formed with states, locals, and industry for some of its success, and it's a goal the department wants to build on in the future. Tom Farmer is the chair of the Cross-Sector Council Partnership for Critical Infrastructure Security.
And when you work in a partnership, the most important element is you've got a willing partner. And very often when it's been private sector initiative, we've had that with the leadership team at DHS, and we had some discussion this morning of some key areas where we have advanced. And so as we met yesterday as a cross-sector council for the private industry representatives, the theme that kept coming up over and over again were opportunities to improve and how do we institutionalize the effective practices that we've advanced. And I think that's the challenge as we go forward. This should not be something that exists only because the particular participants work together for a time. It should be something we pass on to our successors and allow them to come in and bring new perspectives and make what we did even stronger and more enduring.
But there are some initiatives that DHS wants to push through that are just out of its hands. Johnson says he's still pushing Congress to let the department realign and reorganize the National Protection and Programs Directorate.
We are seeking authorization from Congress to realign and restructure NPPD into a cyber and infrastructure protection agency that focuses solely on those two crucial missions, because we believe that there should be a close alignment between cybersecurity and infrastructure protection. So we want to build an agency within the Homeland Security Department focused on those two missions and only those two missions.
The goal of NPPD is to recognize the role the department already plays in cybersecurity. Suzanne Spaulding is the undersecretary for NPPD.
A major part of this transition for NPPD to the Cyber and Infrastructure Protection Agency is to have the folks who do all this hard work recognized as an operational component, to recognize the NPPD and the Cyber and Infrastructure Protection Agency as an operational resource, which will get us more fully and consistently into those outcome conversations, because those conversations are pulling in all of the operational resources that are available for the government and the private sector to talk about how we achieve certain outcomes.
Johnson is also pushing Congress to officially authorize a relatively new structure he put in place to better streamline and communicate with Border Patrol operations across the country. Johnson set up three main entities to lead regional teams. In a way, they're modeled after the military's combatant commands. A Coast Guard three-star admiral leads Border Security for Joint Task Force East. A Border Patrol three-star leads activities for Joint Task Force West. And the Investigations Task Force supports the two regional organizations. Here's Johnson.
It's a little like SOCOM supporting the geographic combatant commands. In the Department of Defense, this is the wave of the future for our department. I'd like Congress to explicitly authorize this. There's legislation pending now to do that, and I hope it actually happens, if not this year, then next year. This is what we need to do, and this is the direction that we need to continue to move in.
In Washington, Nicole Ogrisco, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Be sure to read Nicole's story online now at federalnewsradio.com.